The Business on RTÉ Radio 1 with AIB. We know that your focus is on your business. That's why ours is on supporting you.
Now, staying with migrants and the construction sector, but a very different take on it, let's go back to the 1800s, even the 1700s, when migrant artisan craftspeople really started moving all over Europe, including Ireland, following the money trail and leaving behind beautiful artworks in their wake. Art historian Jessica Fahey takes us back in time.
Consider the scene. You walk into a grand house in Ireland. The high ceilings, impressive wood and stone carvings, and stuccoed walls. You immediately feel transported through time. But imagine what it must have looked and felt like to those seeing it for the first time, newly finished. A sumptuous Venetian palazzo, or the elegance of a Roman villa, transported to the edge of Europe, the Wild West that was Ireland at the time. Beautiful creations that were brought here by craftspeople, more used to the sophisticated courts of European nobles, but who came to these shores on ships carrying fine teas, wines, and other exotic cargo. The history of art is not only about famous oil painters and sculptors, but also these artisans. In fact, in a list of skills that Leonardo da Vinci wrote to the Duke of Milan, painting was one of the last mentioned, almost a footnote. These craftsmen, mural painters, stuccadors, stone carvers, travelled extensively. They followed the trail of money from the grand tourists, known everywhere they visited as the Golden Asses. There's a wonderful painting by Sir Joshua Reynolds in the National Gallery of Ireland called Parody of Raphael's School of Athens. It depicts a group of grand tourists as pompous idiots, including some notable Irish nobles like Joseph Leeson. They were seen to have more money than sense and a desire to have the best of everything in fierce competition with each other. They made it a virtue of collecting beautiful things and claimed that pursuing beauty would also lead to moral virtue. The pursuit of beauty by the patron and the pursuit of money by the artisan were perfectly matched. But let's get back to Joseph Leeson, the first Earl of Milltown. He needed to build and buy and display his virtue through his wealth and taste because he had in fact inherited all of his wealth from his father, a lowly brewer. When building his Palladian Manor, Rusborough, in County Wicklow, he employed all of the best craftsmen from the continent to bring the grand tour home and convince people of his status. He was especially lucky in finding the Lafranchini brothers. These three brothers from the Swiss village of Bironocchio, who had made their way across Europe, stopping to work as master craftsmen for many illustrious personages. They arrived in England in 1737. And the two elder, Paolo and Filippo, continued on to Ireland. Here they created some of the most beautiful stucco work in the frilly, fun and flirty Rococo fashion. A sense of spontaneity with asymmetrical designs, of swirls of plants and flowers weave in and out of fictive frames as if growing up the walls and across the ceiling, with naked cherubs dancing joyously. Gorgeous gods and goddesses enact scenes from mythology for those of education to discern the literary sources, but mostly for everyone to enjoy their titillating beauty. Some examples were later clothed in stucco swimsuits when prudish later generations moved into grand houses. For the 18th century virtuoso, there were no such blushes, and the Lanfranchini brothers and many other continental craftsmen were employed in all the big houses around Ireland to create the most beautiful things imaginable. It is interesting to consider what an everyday Irish person must have thought of these grand houses with their nude statues and risque decorations, and all these exotic-looking travelling tradespeople dressed in brocades and silks, with funny feathered hats, strange manners and languages. And what in turn must these travellers have thought of Ireland and its people? In earlier times, the Irish were recorded as barbarians. But this was often by those wishing to colonise in the name of civilising. Other, perhaps less biased accounts exist, including a fascinating drawing of the Irish with more of an ethnographical intent by German Renaissance artist Albrecht Dürer, who clearly relishes their distinct looks. In the early 16th century drawing, Irish Soldiers and Peasants, over the peasants he wrote, "Thus go the poor of Ireland." Their haircuts, shaved at the back with a long fringe, look surprisingly like something from Peaky Blinders or from a 1980s band, certainly unique for the 16th century.
I am just an extreme example of what a working man can achieve.
Irish craftsmen learned from these visitors, and vice versa. And over time, our craftspeople will be sent abroad to show and sell our unique way of making things. It seems, as long as we've been able to travel, we have shared with and learned from others. A lovely thought to consider about those who went before us.
Art historian Jessica Fahey there.